الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى فقلت استغفروا ربكم إنه كان غفارا صدق الله العظيم. Respected brothers and elders, there is a thing like prioritizing, doing things in priority. If the shirt or the kurta is dirty and you want to apply perfume, then they will say the priority is wash the kurta first and then apply the perfume. Hence, there are two levels of, or two ways to approach a situation. One is to do it randomly, and one is to do it in the proper sequence. There was the first wrong that was committed in this universe, and there was the first good that was done in this entire universe. Right. And I choose to speak on this first wrong because perhaps Allah Ta'ala has designed this whole system in this manner, that if we understand and grasp the concept of the first wrong, then it may just cut off and eliminate a lot of problems in our lives. But what happens in this day and age is there is an abundance of information, but the concept is not grounded into the heart, not grounded into the mind. As a result, we get nowhere. So much of information and information and information, like an explosion of information. But then basic things are forgotten and are left by the way. So the first wrong that took place was the wrong of arrogance, pride. Aba was takbar. That was the first wrong. Pride had overcome Iblis. His ego had overtaken him. But now this ego of his, this pride and arrogance of his, it led to a whole host of sins after that. We may understand pride to be a small thing, an insignificant thing, but as the story unravels, we'll see now how much of wrong comes out just of this pride. So he's commanded, and then his pride has the better over him. And when the pride has the better over him, then it just puts him into a denial. No, I don't want to do it. Right? Outwardly it seems like a small thing, insignificant thing. But then see the problems that it creates thereafter. It's blatant refusal to the command of Allah Ta'ala. Then after this blatant refusal, the second step is there is malice in the heart. there is ill feelings in the heart, another level of guna. Why was this person chosen against me? Why was he preferred over me? أَرَأَيْتَكَ هَذَا الَّذِي كَرَّمْتَ عَلَيْهِ. So this person here, and you have chosen him over me. So the malice started. ضَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ دَاءُ الْأُمَمْ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ الْحَسَدُ وَالْبَغْضَاءُ. And then the hadith says, تَأْكُلُ الْحَسَنَاتِ. This malice and jealousy, and it eats away all your good. Whatever good you've been doing, everything has been eaten up. Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullahi, Allah Ta'ala had given him the blessings of being in nearly all the branches of deen. He was in the Khanqah, he was in the Tabligh Jamaat, he was the Sarparas, the patron. Then he was the madrasa, the Shaykh al-Hadith. So overall, in every department of deen, he was there. So he saw the ins and the outs of the whole deen, he's seen it. I don't have my glasses.
ND 618648, please remove your car.
So, he had seen the whole work, the ins and the outs, the beginning and the end, the highs and the lows. He had seen everything. Experience counts. Salil Hakim. Salil Mujarrad. So he says that Khuda Ta'ala ke haan bare se bare guna ki muafi ho jati hai. The biggest of crimes Allah Ta'ala forgives. Lekin ye takabbur ki wahan qat'an koi gunjaish nahi. Said it like this. Qat'an gunjaish nahi. But this pride, there's no place for it in the heavens. Absolutely no place. There must be a reason why the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam spoke about pride and arrogance. Then he says that لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِي مِثْقَالُ ذَرَّةٍ مِنْ كِبْرٍ. Iota mustard seed of pride, you can't get Jannat. But then, by the same token, that he says, said person said, La ilaha illallah, dakhal al jannah, wa in zana wa in saraqa, wa in zana wa in saraqa. So, he says that gunas are in two categories. One is bahi, and one is jahi. One is connected to your lust, temptation, lust, etc. That is also destructive. But more destructive and shaitani guna is the guna that is connected to your ego and to your pride. And unfortunately, we don't even consider this as a guna any longer. And whereas the catalyst of that wrong that destroyed shaitan was pride. First of all, understand what it did to him. Allah told him, Ukhruj, get out, banished. Madhumam madhura, disgraced. Get out, get out, disgraced. And then Allah says that, Wa inna alayka la'anati ila yawmiddin. The curse is perpetual, right till Qiyamah, perpetual. For this perpetual curse, he's got a banishing order, and then he's been disgracefully taken out of Jannat, of heaven, he's taken out, thrown out. And the disgrace and that curse is such that it's irreversible. You can't reverse it. Can't come back. Inna alayka la'anati ila yawmiddin. You can't reverse the thing. A curse is a severe thing. When you say curse, that is why we're not allowed to curse a Muslim, no matter what he is. But a Muslim, you're not allowed to curse him. And what is the meaning of curse? Ib'ad an rahmatillah, to throw someone out of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. He's thrown out of the road. When Allah Ta'ala himself has thrown him out, then is there any way for him to come back onto the course? Is it ever possible? Never possible. And then with disgrace, humiliation. As a result, you won't find a single person keeping his son's name Shaitan. That is sensible, obviously. You're not talking about people that are akal mari gayi. You know? You're not talking about those people. These are a group who lost their intelligence. You're not talking about them. You're talking about those people that are still sane. Still, sanity still prevails. So no sensible person calls his son shaitan. And every child from the infant years right till he's dying, and every day he's cursing the shaitan, he's cursing him, and he's chasing him out. A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. So imagine the curse of Allah, that every human being, every Muslim is cursing him every day. And where he started off from? He started off this takabbur. Pride, arrogance. This is the starting point. That's the catalyst. And then, to compound matters, Allah Pak says, سَأَصْرِفُ عَنْ آيَاتِيَ الَّذِينَ يَتَكَبَّرُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ بِغَيْرِ الْحَقِّ. The one that has got pride, then I will shift him out from my knowledge. And آيَاتِي, I'll move him away. He can't get my knowledge. He'll get some words. He'll be able to excite people. But the depth and the understanding of my knowledge, he's gone. I don't give him. So أَصْرِفُ عَنْ آيَاتِيَ الَّذِينَ يَتَكَبَّرُونَ. So Allah is saying that I'll move you out. Now, we're talking of the first wrong that took place. So the first thing that happens in that individual is he goes on a denial. Then number two, then there's malice. And the malice eats up your good. Whatever good you have done, it eats it up. Then the third thing, what happens after that? Then you go on to a program of trying to legitimize. See now, shaitan, when he got thrown out, and Allah asked him, but why? I asked you to prostrate. I asked you to make sajda and to bow down. But why didn't you? مَا مَنَعَكَ أَن تَسْجُدَ لِمَا خَلَقْتُ بِيَدِي. Why? What stops you? I asked you to bow down. What stops you to bow down and to humble yourself? So he legitimized the whole thing and he says, أَنَا خَيْرُ, I'm better. Allah Pak, you know what? We need to reconsider this command of yours, because this is against reasoning. It's against logic. The senior doesn't bow down to the junior. It's the other way around. He just came up now. And I've been serving you for thousands of years. There isn't a place in the heavens where I didn't bow down to you. So I am in your service for thousands of years. This man is born just now. And I must go and bow down for him. I must bow down to him. See, he began to legitimize the wrong. He went on a denial. And then he went on objecting to the commandment of Allah Ta'ala. Ta'aleel fi muqabalati nas. It's a clear text of the Quran, clear text, clear word of Allah Ta'ala, and you want to challenge it. See, one wrong to the other, and to the third, and to the fourth. It just grows and grows and grows. Then, now look, this one guna looks like a small, insignificant thing, then it grows again. Now, it didn't stop at that point to legitimize, like how we have it in this day and time, legitimize. Now, we're just doing some financing. Now, this is not photography, it's just a reflection. It's some ikhtilaf. So, I don't mean to have any wrong feelings toward this woman. We are just casually talking, we're just friends. So all the wrong can take place, but what we need to do is just to legitimize it, just give it a cover. See, ana khair. See this way it's coming off from? From the same pride, from this arrogance. And the arrogance makes you to legitimize the wrong that you are doing, to legalize it. Then I ask you, is there any possibility for such a person, tawbah, to get accepted? الَّذِينَ ظَلَّ سَعْيُهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ سُنَعًا. Their efforts have been all wasted. In their minds they think, we are moving it. We are moving, we are progressing. But, وَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ سُنَعًا. Allah says, everything is wasted, everything is gone. So the fourth wrong that takes place in this whole thing is then hasad and jealousy. لَيْنَ أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ لَأَحْتَنِكَنَّ ذُرِّيَّتَهُ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. What is hasad? تَمَنِّي زَوَالِ النِّعْمَةِ. That you got it, why did you get it? Allah Pak, take it away from you. You mustn't get it. So if I see you progressing, I burn. I can't see you driving a Merc or a BMW. I can't see you doing it. Ah. So I need to take out the vengeance somehow or the other. You're doing some unda danda, you know. He's drugging and all that. So he's got some money now. Allah will forgive us all, you know. So the way you'll duck and you'll hide your piety and righteousness, but you're smashing the person down. You're smashing him, you're doing worse than ghibat. As Imam Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi says, that why did the hadith say, al-ghibatu ashaddu min az-zina? That ghibat and backbiting is worse than zina. Why did he say that? There must be some reason for Allah to say that ghibat is worse than zina. Why did he say that? When a person is committed zina, he say, what a thing he's done. So disgusting, so disgraceful. The whole world would talk against him. This woman, he don't even think of going to that house. But ghibat, one of those things, instead of making fikr for deen, making fikr to bring him on the right. Again, legalize. The wrong we do, but we'll just give it a cover to legalize, legitimize the whole thing. See, I'm not being ghibada, but I'm telling you a fact. So how beautifully we legalize, legitimize the whole thing. So he says, why is it that this ghibat is, in the words of the hadith, declared worse than zina? He says, that person who commits zina, he feels miserable, he feels terrible about himself. What a wrong thing I've done. I've done a miserable thing. I've wronged. He feels ashamed. But the one that does ghibat, he doesn't feel any wrong about what he's done. That consciousness is gone. There's no consciousness in him. He doesn't feel the wrong of what he's done. And not to feel the wrong as wrong, not to feel the hurt of the wrong, that is worse than the wrong. One is wrong, and number two is not to consider the wrong to be wrong. We're going and talking about that person and this person and this person did it like this and that person did it like that. And 9 out of 10 times is just speculation. Absolute pure speculation. The man may have been totally innocent, but we have got some grudge against the person and something, he did something that was doubtful and then let's nail him. Let's run him down. Somehow run him down. So Muaz says that why is this ghibat worse than zina? Because you have considered yourself to be greater than him. One is, you consider the wrong to be right, number one. And you'll only make ghibat of a person who you despise. Like look at a personality, as like Hakim Akhtar Sahib, rahmatullah alayhi, right? We won't make ghibat of him. Why? Because we're all considering to be of a very lofty status. Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani, rahmatullah alayhi, will not make ghibat of him. But someone we consider as our equal or below us, we will be readily making ghibat about him. So you see, al-ghibatu ashaddu min az-zina. And why are you going to make ghibat of him? We want to cut him down to size. We want to show, you know, he's not what you think of. You think he's so high, but he's not like how you make it to be. He's nothing. He's an insignificant person. He's a non-entity. So, tamanni zawali ni'mat. He's got a favor. He's got a blessing. But you don't want to recognize that blessing. When you don't want to recognize that blessing, one way to smash him down is not to acknowledge. He's getting some respect. To smash him down. How to smash him down? Not to confer that respect. Somehow turn it away from him. It happens to everybody. Educated, uneducated. To all classes. Business, non-business. Everybody it happens to. So I can't see you enjoying that. So now Shaitan saw now he's doomed, he's gone to Jahannam. So he says, I can't be roasting and toasting there alone in Jahannam. If I am thrown out of the way, then they must also be thrown out. Because he's the cause of my peril and my destruction. If I am roasting and toasting in Jahannam, then he must also roast and toast in Jahannam. So I don't want you to get it. Like I didn't get it, so you mustn't get it as well. So that's pure hasad, jealousy. And what a thing he's taken on himself, just on account of jealousy. Then you look again, look at the Bani Israel. Who's the Bani Israel? When we say Bani Israel, who is the Bani Israel? Israel is the name of a Nabi, Yaqub alayhi salam. So children of a Nabi, right? Allah is addressing them, children of a Nabi. Right? But then the same sickness got them. Hasadam min indi anfusihim min ba'di ma tabayyana lahumul haqq. This jealous had the better over them. And then it threw them out of the room. وَجَعَلَ مِنْهُمُ الْقِرَدَةَ وَالْخَنَازِيرُ وَعَبَدَ الطَّاغُوتُ. Allah says, then he transformed them into apes, into swines, into worshippers of idols. From where? Hasad. See, Hasad, where he took them. Now we consider that as a small thing. What's there? But what it does to you, how it smashes the person down, how it throws him down. See? So the wrong that comes out of this takabbur, of this pride. So that's the first wrong that took place on the heavens. Allah says, after disbelief, one is disbelief, but what is the catalyst to disbelief? قِيلَتْ خُلُوا أَبْوَابَ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا فَبِئْسَ مَثْوَى الْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ. Allah speaks about the kafirs going to Jahannam. But what was the catalyst for your kufr? فَبِئْسَ مَثْوَى الْمُتَكَبِّرِينَ. Allah shows, what was the illatul illa? What was the reason? What was the underlying factor? At takabbur. You thought too much of yourself. We hear the statement, think bad of the work he's doing, not of the person. Alright? As far as a Muslim is concerned, it's alright. To say, we hate his actions, we don't hate the person. But this is with reference to a Muslim. Now sometimes we hear the statements here and we start quoting it. And I think many a times that the statements of the Busughan al-Din have to be understood very well before we can quote them and relate them. Right? Because if someone tells you, what about shaitan then? Must you hate his actions and not hate him? إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًا. He's your enemy. So identify your enemy. Allah is saying, identify. He didn't say, identify his actions. Identify him. He's your enemy. Can you see? Identify your enemy. إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ فَاتَّخِذُوا عَدُوًا. Hazrat Mujaddid Al-Fasani Rahmatullahi, Allah gave him that tawfiq, that grace, that he did a revivalist work in India for a period of a millennium, a whole 1,000 years. He brought about a change in India. And if you look at his history, you must come to the conclusion that if it weren't for his work, I think more than 90% of the Muslims would have gone out of Islam. The work that he's done. He risked his life, he's put his life on the block just to bring about a change. Right? So he says, you know, hate the person, hate the action, not the person. He says, this is not with respect to kufr and disbelief. Because kufr and disbelief, Allah Ta'ala ko usse zati adawat hai. Allah Ta'ala hates the very essence of disbelief. Zati adawat hai. So it is not just the action, it is the kufr itself. So the kafir itself, he is disliked by Allah Ta'ala. So when the very zat, the very person of disbelief is disliked, hated by Allah Ta'ala, right, then the one that is in disbelief also will be despised and hated by Allah Ta'ala. Zati adawat Allah Ta'ala. Other things maybe is not zati, sifati here. Lekin ye to uske saath zati adawat Allah Ta'ala. Look at Ibrahim alayhi salam. Look at Nuh alayhi salam. Nuh alayhi salam says, La tadhar al-ardi min al-kafirina dayyara. Don't spare a single kafir. The last of them, Allah Ta'ala destroy them. So the enmity is with the zat of the kafir. See the dislike. Ibrahim alayhi salam says that, وَبَدَى بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمُ الْعَدَاوَةُ وَالْبَغْضَاءُ إِنِّي بَرِيءٌ مِنْكُمْ. I got nothing to do with you. I broke away from you. No, not just your actions. I broke away from you. Bari'um minkum. Do you see that? Bari'um minkum wa mimma ta'buna. Not only you, from your worship, whatever you're doing. I broke away from you and from your worship. We are broken apart. So you can't reconcile. You can't say, no, alright, no, man. It's a celebration. Let's go. It's a family get together. It's a Hindu or whatever. Let's go and mix up. You can't. Can't do it. Can't compromise. So he says, بَرِيُمْ مِنْكُمْ كَفَرْنَا بِكُمْ وَبَدَى بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمُ الْعَذَاوَةُ وَالْبَغْضَى. Hatred. Enmity has appeared between us. We are poles apart. You go your way, I go my way. So when we say that you hate the action, not the person, then this is anything besides shirk. Because shirk is an unpardonable thing. So Allah Ta'ala ko uske saath zati adawat hai. And then I was thinking about it, about the wording of Shah Mujaddid al-Fasani rahmatullah. Why did he say this? So the only reason that came to my mind, if it is right, it's from Allah Ta'ala. A Muslim, no matter how weak he may be, if he's doing a wrong, then he is hurt about it. I'm doing a wrong. I'm taking drugs. I'm womanizing and looking at porn, right? But within the heart of her, I'm interesting, whatever, I'm usually, whatever. But within the heart, he's got a pain. I'm not doing the right thing. Allah Ta'ala, forgive me for this. He doesn't feel good of the thing that he's doing. But that kafir, when he's sipping wine, does he say astaghfirullah? If he's dancing and clubbing, does he say astaghfirullah, I'll never do this again. See, when is the next show? Now you see the disparity. The Muslim is doing it, right? But he's got that iman in his heart. And that iman is creating an aversion. I can't, I'm doing the wrong thing. I'm not supposed to be doing this. It's haram. I don't know why I'm doing this thing here. Allah Bak, save me from this thing. From within his heart, he got a deep aversion. And that person that is doing the haram, does he have any aversion, that kafir, that mushrik? No aversion is gone. He's making shirk and he's happy about the shirk that he's doing. He's in kufr and he's happy about the kufr he's doing. He's drinking wine and he's calling it holy wine. Must have it before the end of the service on Sunday. Do you see that? The disparity. So, the mu'min in his heart, there's iman. When there's iman in his heart, therefore we love him. Because of his iman, we love him. His outer self, his clothing is not right. That is not right. But his heart is right. And that kafir, his heart is not right. Apart from his outside not being right, his heart is corrupt. That thing is rotten. So there's no way to fix that thing. That's why la yaghfiru ayyushraka bihi. You set partners with Allah Ta'ala, then this is an unpardonable crime. That crime cannot be forgiven. So, what I'm sharing with you today, with the grace of Allah Ta'ala, is the first sin that is started off. This is pride. And unfortunately, we don't talk about it. And one of the reasons that I'm speaking on this, a friend of mine came to speak to me. Allah Ta'ala gave him a lot of wealth, Allah Ta'ala increase in every respect. A few days, about 3-4 days back he came. He says, we speak to the youth today, you know, you warn him, don't do this here. It's not right what you are doing. Perhaps you're talking to your son, or junior, you're talking to him. In time, you know what, you want to do this, I'll take away this privileges. You got the privilege of the car, I'll take it away from you. So, the child's response will be, so what? He'll just shrug his shoulders. And then what? So what? So he doesn't show any remorse for the wrong that he's doing. Now, what goes to the father's heart? I've given him these privileges. And see the attitude that he's showing me. What happens to the father? Now, because of the law, he can't hit him, he can't discipline him, he can't correct him. But he feels really, really cheated. He feels deceived. What this son of mine is up to here? See the attitude that he's showing. Now, the first thing that came into the Sahaba-i-Kiram, that is why we call them Sahaba-i-Kiram, when I looked at them deeply, the first thing that came into them was, apart from the deep-level submission, it was submission, it was loyalty, it was love. Deep love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then they didn't ask why. Imagine a person is just coming to Madinah Munawwara. First. first impression of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You see, first impression. Now he's in love with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then he says to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ya Nabi Allah. Now imagine the first meeting, first mulaqat. So he's giving away all his secrets. Ya Rasulullah, you know what? I have got some sheep, some goats I've got, and I've got a slave woman. She takes care of it. And then she, for a moment or so, she was neglectful, and one wolf came and devoured one. So, when I'm in Bani Adam, I'm a man after all. When I'm a man, I got angry. أَغْدِبُ كَمَا يَغْدِبُونَ Like they get angry, I got angry, I gave one slap. So, Rasulullah SAW was very disgusted, very disturbed at this. So when he saw this, he felt afraid. Right, the hadith is long. But then, when he saw that the crime that he did, he didn't legitimize. Ya Rasulullah, but you know the loss I incurred. One goat, good sized goat, 5,000-10,000 rands. In a minute of her negligence, and she lost this for me. I gave only one shot, I gave her. So he didn't legitimize. Why? He was consumed by love. When he's consumed by love, then he says, no, Ya Rasulullah, I have caused it now. I'm freeing this slave. Yes, there's no sawab for this. He's just going to cover up the guna that you have done. So, he's so consumed by the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he doesn't want an interruption in the line of love. That's how you will analyze this. He doesn't want an interruption in the line of love. And one of us are in that place, you know, one slave girl, young, and she's active, etc., will be reigning at least about between 50 and 80,000 men. One slap costed him 80,000 rand, imagine. One. And he didn't hesitate in doing so. Just to correct, just bring a corrective to try and sort it out, to correct, rectify 80,000 rand. See that? And now, what goes to our mind? How many explanations will give, justify, legitimize? So the Sahaba Kiram, we can't compare ourselves to them. They are at a different level altogether. Abu Talha, I'll come back to this again. Abu Talha radiallahu anhu, and he's performing namaz in his orchard, an orchard that Nabi Sallam likes. An orchard that Nabi Sallam likes its water, everything. In the precincts of the haram, if today it were on sale, I'm sure it will go for some couple of billions. Right in the precincts of the haram. And one bird or something just caught his attention. And the thing caught his attention, and he says, well, now, I'm not going to keep this. This is for Allah Ta'ala. This thing distracted me from my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The love. You see the love. The communication. The love with Allah Ta'ala is so deep that I cannot keep this any longer. I'm taking it off. Sadaqah now. Now I ask you, how many times don't we get distracted with our phones? In namaz. Talking to Allah Ta'ala in namaz. And deliberately we got it switched on. And if someone is going to tell us, correct us, you mind your own business. We're getting distracted. We want to get distracted. So the love of Allah Ta'ala is not there. And then how many of us thought after that this thing distracted me from Allah Ta'ala, disrupted my relationship with Allah, throw this thing away. Did any of us think like this? Now you see, I say we can't compare ourselves. He didn't have to think. You know, we say Siddiq. What is the meaning of a Siddiq? Siddiq is a person who's reached that level. You know, you talk of awliya, the high, great awliya I talk. So the Siddiq is that person that when the truth is presented before him, there is no hesitation, no delay in the acceptance. You just have to present it and there he's on. Just present it and there he's gone. So there's no hesitation, no delay in the acceptance. You just tell him and it's done. Zaki Mukhtar sahab, fill his grave with nur. The stories of his awliya ikiram really is an inspiration. The day his respected family, may Allah fill her grave with nur. But the day his family passed away, immediately he took her ID documents, passport, and he tore it up. So until she was alive, for whatever legal purposes I required this, now everything is done, I don't need to keep this. So this is a curse, and straight away he tears it. That's called a Siddiq. There's no hesitation, no delay. It's a command of Allah Ta'ala. Maybe it's got a different explanation, and it's got another interpretation, and let's look at it from another perspective. No. It's a command of Allah Ta'ala. I don't need to keep this thing here. Immediately it happens, and there's no delay in executing the command of Allah Ta'ala. That's called a siddiq. I was explaining, you know, you have to do things in sequence, prioritize. Sometimes, you know, we get a bayan, someone says, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, someone says, Durood Sharif. All very great, right? But there is a thing like priority. Now, how do you understand the priority? What should we do first? Istighfar, rectifying ourselves, or making different type of zikr, etc., etc. I say both have to be done, right? But then as a matter of priority, what should we be doing first? Understand it in this manner, right? That your friend, your brother is in prison, right? There's two ways to bring comfort to that friend or the brother of yours. One is to send him food, some comfort, clothing, it's winter, some blanket, etc. Make him comfortable. That's one type of comfort. And the best comfort that you can provide him is to work to get him out of prison. Is there anything better? Providing the food is good, but what is greater? The temporary 1-2 minutes of comfort or the permanent comfort? The permanent comfort is to get him out. So istighfar is like that. Istighfar is you have rectified your relationship with Allah Ta'ala. That's istighfar. That's the essence of istighfar. Now, this istighfar has got three levels, three requirements. I wanted to talk about also the first good that took place in the heavens. If you've got time now, I see my time is already up there, 43 already. Baat shuru karte hain, then time just flies, right? So, this istighfar has got three requirements. One is the first level, you know, you're correcting, rectifying. Like I say, we have put ourselves into that problem. The first thing that's to be done is to get ourselves cleared of the problem. Like I said, first wash the garment and then apply the ether. Now it's a dirty garment and you're putting attar there. It doesn't look right. Does it look right? The wife is very sick, young, very sick, but seeing cancer and all that. And you're putting good garments on her, wedding dress and jewelry, etc. Say, bye, get herself fixed up first. Get her fixed up first and then you can adorn her. Now, all this sickness and all this problems that are with her, and you are shaping her, you know, you're adorning her, etc. Kya fayda? Where's the good in that? Get her right first. So that's istighfar. Rectify. Correct. So the first step in this rectification is show regret. Feel ashamed of the wrong that we're doing. We're doing the wrong. We're looking at what, right? Youngsters come and tell me, you know, I got hooked onto this. What you hooked on? Social media. What is this all about? So I learned the terms from them. Really, I don't know the terms also. And I don't know how to operate that thing as well. So you know, one episode got about 30 series. And that one series, the way it's connected to the other one, that the moment you finish one CD, you want to see the next one. So just explain that, you know, they keep you in such suspense, you know. Like the end of the series, though, the mother-in-law wanted to slap the daughter-in-law, you know. And they just stopped it at that point. So now, you are edging to know what's... And that one series is 1 hour. Now imagine 30 series in one episode, 30 hours is gone. How much khatam you could have done, how much of istighfar, how much of righteousness you could have done. But everything is washed away. Everything is lost. Really, jo ghar ke amal hai, you're not doing it. Then we got all these problems. Whether it is fighting, whether it is problems, misunderstanding, uneasiness. Then we find insecurity, all this. So, ghar ke amal, we're not doing it. When you're not doing it, then you are asking for trouble. See, the kitab reading actually, if you look at this kitab reading, it's actually a hadith and the explanation to hadith. Really, I checked it up very carefully. It's a hadith and explanation to hadith. Because all of us, we require that explanation. We can't, we're not at a level, you just present a hadith to me and I can understand it fully. The hadith says, you leave out one namaz, intentionally you are a kafir. Now, hey, you'll get so many kafirs in this place, it's not. You'll get so many kafirs, because majority of the people are not reading namaz, so all are kafirs then. So the hadith has got an explanation. So without the explanation, you can't understand the hadith. You can't pretend to understand the hadith. It's just a pretense. So we don't do what we aren't. So the first level is you show remorse. Feel ashamed of the wrong that you're doing. Identify with the wrong. And I say, one thing that we should be introducing in our homes is this kitab reading. Kitab reading, Quran Sharif, little bit of zikr, right? Do it. It's not only a Thursday night that we come and do it here. No. At home, it must be like you can't do without the morning tea. Those that are addicted to cigarette, they can't start off the day without a cigarette. Right? So this must be like part of the home, right? Part of the furniture. And it becomes so much more important today because you are getting, you know, you're getting torn with the media. Media is telling you something, someone is telling you something, go out to the shop, whatever. Something else is happening, right? There's so many things that are distracting you from the path. So you need something to neutralize you, to get you correct, to get you back onto track. So this is the word of Nabi Sassam. Then you decide reciting Quran Sharif. Right? Making zikr. As though you've got Allah Pak in your house. As though you've got Nabi Sassam in your house. Making talim correctly. You're taking his name. You're reciting the Quran Sharif. You've got Allah Pak in your house. And you've got Nabi Sassam in your house. Now, can there be problems in the house? You're doing it regularly, diligently, properly, you're doing it. Can you have problems then? You're making zikr, you're making Quran Sharif tilawat, you're doing talim, you got Allah Pak and you got his Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in your house. But systematically you took them out of your house. You took out Allah Ta'ala from the house, you took out Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from the house. Right? So all the media is coming in, all the circular education is coming in, wrong beliefs are coming into your house, and there's no way that you're going to wash it out. No way you're going to wash it out. The child is getting, his mind is getting corrupted. He's getting corrupted and nobody knows about it. Now just now, someone took his grandchild for Umrah, for Hajj. And as the grandfather is showing this grandchild, see, this is the Baytullah. So the grandchild, 7, 8, 10 years of age, is asking his grandfather, Dada, this is the Jesus' house. Jesus' house. Model C school, and this is what's happening. So when there's no talim, there's no basis ever, there's no fazail, then this is what's going to occupy our home. You have systematically taken out Allah Ta'ala and his Nabi from your house. Then you want to know why is the child behaving in this manner. That's our naivety, isn't it? So the first step is istighfar. Show that you are embarrassed, you're ashamed. Really, Allah Ta'ala, I apologize, and I've done a great disservice to myself. You're feeling embarrassed, feeling hurt about the wrong that you are doing. I must use my eyes, use my ears, my tongue. The second point in the step of istighfar, you know, trying to correct yourself, rectify your relationship. You've got your relationship right with Allah Ta'ala. Right? You've got it right. What else you want? The hadith says, At-ta'ibu habibullah. You're my friend then. Then all the four journey is going to be very smooth and easy for you. The first custom and immigration that you're going to have is the encounter with death. At that encounter with death, malaika are coming to you. Encounter with death. Nahnu awliyaukum. We are your friends. Don't worry. Nothing to stress about. We are here. I am here for you. Nobody can touch you. Nahnu awliyaukum. We are your friends. We are your guardians. So that's the first encounter. Walau tara idhi zalimuna. في غمرات الموت والملائكة باسط ويدهم إن الذين توفاهم الملائكة ظالمي أنفسهم قالوا فيما كنتم. At the time of death you're getting interrogated. You're getting into problems. So that's the first encounter. And here you got the support of the malaika. That's the culmination of your entire life. What you want? You want a smooth transition. Smooth crossover to the akhir. That's what you want. Anything else? Smooth. Nice. Allah is happy with you. You're happy with him. Allah is saying you corrected the relationship with me. You followed the whole tarteeb, the sequence of istighfar and tawbah. And you're my friend. When you're my friend, I have got my men to take care of you at the very crucial moment. نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. But be straight. استقاموا. You remain straight. You made the tawbah, then remain like that. So the second step in this whole program of tawbah is, it's a firm resolve. That I'll never get back to this wrong. Otherwise, it is out of convenience, you know. Writing the board exams, Allah Pak, I make maaf for all the wrong I did. Just see me through these exams. And the moment Allah Ta'ala saw you, فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ إِذَا رَكِبُوا فِي الْفُلْكِ دَعَوُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ So when they're in that constraints, turbulence, right? The waves are bashing you from one end to the other. And sometimes the plane, you see the plane, sometimes turbulence, and it's going down, right? And you see it, for a moment, everybody is quiet. Everybody is connected with Allah Ta'ala. The greatest Buzrug also is worried at that time, right? At that time, you're making Tawbah. Aren't you making Tawbah by that time? You don't know what's going to be the next move. Right? But the moment Allah Ta'ala sees you well, then everything is forgotten. All the promises are forgotten. So this istighfar is not for convenience. Allah, you see me through my exams and I'll be a good person. The moment Allah Ta'ala brought you to safety, all the promises are forgotten. So it's just a convenience. Man came for your daughter and out of convenience, you see him in the masjid making istighfar, making namaz, etc. But the moment he's got your daughter, he's drugging again. Don't you feel cheated at that time? Don't you feel betrayed at that time? So the second step in istighfar and tawbah is then you be firm. Then come what may. Friend or no friend, I have made up my line with Allah Ta'ala, I don't want to break it again. I don't want to spoil it again. That's the second thing. When Arum Rahmatullahi complains about same thing. He says, Toba bar lab, subha bar kaf, dil pur az zauk guna, maasiyat ra khanda mi ayat az istighfar ma. We got the tasbih in our hands, making astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. But our hearts are filled with the excitement of wrong. We still want to see the next one, the next episode, the next series, we want to see it again. Heart is filled. What's going to happen again? We did wrong at that. I had that experience. I want to get that experience again. So my room says, "Maasiyat ra khanda mi ayat as istighfarima." But you got that intention. I'm going to do that financing again. I'm going to do that interest again. I'm going to do that haram again. But just for the convenience of making istighfar. So he says, even shaitan has a big laugh at our istighfar. "Maasiyat ra khanda mi ayat as istighfarima." So this is the first thing that you get. That Allah Pak writes you down as the Habibullah. When you are strong, you are firm in your istighfar, tawbah, you're rectifying your relationship with Allah Ta'ala, you say, you're my friend. Kaman la dhambalaw, you got no sins. And then Allah Pak loves you so much after that, that He obliterates and blots out all your gunas. The records of the malaika clean them up. My banda, this is my servant. I don't want him to suffer embarrassment. I don't want him to go through disgrace. You see how much Allah loves you. Just for that istighfar. But He's saving you from disgrace. He's disgracing, saving you from humiliation. Otherwise, I ask you, from the age of, that we know ourselves, 13, right? Till this age, how many wrongs we've done? If it was advertised, would we like to be living? Ask your heart of heart. You won't even like living. But Allah says, my banda, I will save him. His izzat, I will take care. His integrity, I will take care. But you, إِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبُ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتُجِيبُوا لِي. Then play the game now. I am being so good with you. But how are you responding? So that's the second thing. That you be firm on that. Resolution. Tonight is Thursday. At least we can go home. 5 minutes. Sit on the bed at least. Or discuss with your wife. You know, we had enough now. Now somehow we need to draw the line. We don't know. Death is such a thing. Now, we heard last week or something, on a Thursday or something, the husband passed away. And 2 days later, the wife passed away. Aren't we hearing of sudden death? And sometimes I think, for a Muslim, the sudden death is a blessing. Right? Why it's a blessing? For 2 reasons. As though you deceive shaitan. Shaitan doesn't have a chance now to mislead you. Right? In your sleep, you died, or something, accident, you died. So he lost out. And the second reason I say it's a blessing is because when you're seeing sudden deaths, you know, it keeps you in the state of readiness. Hey, it happened to him, it can happen to me also. I can be the next candidate. So I need to be in the state of readiness. So isn't it a blessing then for a Muslim? Why? Why must we stress? Consider it to be a blessing, but then prepare yourself for it. So that's the second step. And the third step in istighfar is rectify. Right? I was owing you some 100,000 rand, for example, right? Been dodging you, delaying the payment, etc. One day I got you, each day, whatever, say, made maaf. Say, no, I made maaf for all that. But now you must pay back 100,000 rand for your delaying and dodging and all that. I made maaf. But what you're owing me, you pay me back. Don't you say that. So the same, You missed out that namaz. Allah has made maaf for you. You made tawbah, astighfar. I did it wrong. I didn't do it. But then all the qazas do it now. The rozas that you missed out, you made istighfar, Allah Ta'ala will forgive you. But rectify, correct the situation now. The zakat that you didn't pay, then for all the years calculate and rectify the situation. Whatever you've done, Allah Ta'ala will say, I'll forgive every sin. The last sin I'll forgive. But you make that attempt to rectify, correct the situation. Allah Ta'ala will like it. Even if you haven't reached, but you tried, you attempted, Allah Ta'ala will look at you successfully. He will look at you favorably. That man who killed 99 people, right? He didn't accomplish the requirements of the Tawbah. They asked him to go, Qaryatu Salihin, go into the village of the righteous. He hadn't yet gone there. The story is long, but Allah Ta'ala favored him. Why? He made that attempt. He tried. Whatever was within his capacity, he tried the best. When he tried the best, Allah said, no man, Banda of mine, he tried his best, throw him into Jannah. Is it difficult? Show remorse, number one. Number two, firm resolution. As I say, Thursday night, you make an agreement with Allah Ta'ala. But enough is enough. And the third is rectify, correct. Think about the hukukullah, hukukul ibad, right? The rights of people, the rights of Allah Ta'ala. Where have I gone wrong? Whatever. In hukukul ibad, try and understand it in this way. Have I fulfilled his right? Don't look at it. Have they fulfilled my rights? No. That was not the way of the original Muslim. The original Muslim looked at it in this way. Have I fulfilled their rights? I must ensure that I have done. They have done to me or not, I'm not concerned about it. Alright, formalities I have to follow, but more than that, I need to ensure that I have fulfilled their rights or not. Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Alhamdulillah, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wassalamu ala Rasulil Kareem wa alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم تب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين.